This one goes out to the Inebriati, Original 109, Red Patch Boys, Tribal Rhythm Nation, U-Sector. This is TFC Pitchside on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Terrell Johnson, Rico though, is the attacking end of that. Johnson! He has come back to Providence Park and made his mark, Will Johnson.
Gotta find my way back home. I've been away too long. Gotta find my way back home.
Larry! A gift from the soccer gods.
I've been gone, gone, gone for such a long, long time.
It's a sea of red. This is TFC Pitchside with Dan Riccio and Thomas Michalakos.
Yeah, you heard the man. It is TFC Pitchside. Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos. Huge show today. President of your Toronto FC, Bill Manning, and legend of your Toronto FC, Dwayne DiRosario, both set to join us in just a little bit. But this is a wonderful day, Thomas.
Why? Because you're dancing again?
You feel like anything can happen on a day like today. The Maple Leafs won the draft lottery Saturday.
Which I never expected, even though they're the worst team.
The Raptors won a Game 7 on Sunday.
Didn't expect that either.
And today, Leicester City are Premier League champions.
Now tell me, who actually expected that one to happen? Like,
anything can happen. Pigs can fly. TFC can win an MLS Cup. These are all things that are possible now.
Don't knock things over. You're getting crazy over here.
I'm just saying.
It's okay. I feel it.
Positive today as we are on TFC Pitchside. We'll talk to Bill Manning. We'll talk to Dwayne DiRosario and let you hear some of the sounds of Leicester City winning a Premier League title.
I still can't believe it.
Even though we are a TFC-focused show, this is like the biggest moment in soccer for the last number of years.
Forget about soccer. This is the biggest moment in sports. It transcends sports.
It's the biggest Cinderella story of all time.
Ever.
All right. Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos, TFC getting a 2-1 loss in Portland over the weekend on Sunday. So, okay. TFC so far this season, they are 3 wins, 2 draws against Eastern Conference opponents, Thomas.
Not bad. Against your own conference?
They are 3 losses against Western Conference opponents.
Doesn't really matter till you meet them in the final anyway. So let's hope TFC just beats their own conference. Silly.
Let's simmer down a little bit. Let's take a step back off that.
Why? Why do I need to simmer down? You shot out of a cannon right when the show started.
The first game at BMO Field this year is against a Western Conference opponent.
And your boy toy, Mauro Diaz, will
exactly.
be there.
It's going to be a tough game. And if TFC want to, you know, really catch the city by storm or even just, you know, get some momentum going into the meat of their season, they need to get a win in their home opener, which they didn't do last year. But we'll talk about that later in the week. For now, let's talk about the road trip. 19,500 kilometers traveled. They finished with 3 wins and 11 points.
You can't get mad at that. Plus, 7 goals conceded. Still the best in the league.
Still the best in the league in less than a goal per game. Unbelievable record right now so far for the team. As for the game yesterday, losing to the defending MLS Cup champs, Portland Timbers 2-1. I mean, I came away from it just saying, that's a tough luck loss. Yeah, Timber Joey. Joey was doing some work. Yesterday.
Yeah,
he was putting in some work. As Rihanna would say. I mean, I know work.
Please don't sing. You were dancing earlier.
Timber
now you're singing.
Timber, anything's possible today. Jeez. Anything. Jeez.
Will it be possible for you to stop singing and dancing?
Work. So you were saying about the game?
Yeah. Are you done singing and dancing?
Yeah, I'm done.
Are you sure?
I'm done.
All right.
I was going to say.
Work.
Again, look at this. No respect like Roger Dean.
All right. We're running out of time. Seriously, go now.
It is a tough loss. You have to say the game through and through for 90 minutes was thoroughly entertaining.
It was.
It was really entertaining. For an MLS game, a lot of people give MLS a bad rap.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, it's about 20 players running for this ball in the same spot and everything. It was a really good match to watch for the neutrals.
It was. It was great. And look, TFC had the one defensive breakdown on the first goal.
Yep.
And probably the worst defensive breakdown they've had this season.
Yeah.
I don't think we're stretching too much to say that. Like, they left Portland's best player all alone in Diego Valeri. They've totally misplayed the 1-2, and then he easily taps it over to Fernando Adi.
Am I wrong? Because I was watching, it was Greek Easter yesterday.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's fam jam going on. Thank you. Thank you. There's a fam jam going on.
Lots of spanakopita. Huh?
There's a lot of lamb, and it was really gross. It was really gross. Mm. Yeah, because I just look to become a vegetarian every time I watch these big lambs. Oh. They're just getting on the spit. But anyways, I digress. The problem here is, with the team, Portland should have won 3-1, don't you think? With that open net. Fernando Adi missed.
Yeah,
because
they got really lucky. But at the same time, Portland's goalkeeper made all the difference in this game. TFC could have had 4 goals themselves. I mean, you're only as good as your finishing is sometimes.
You're right on the money on that one. And when I've been reading a lot of things today, you know, recaps and everything saying, you know, TFC have to start to finish and they're not finishing well. You're not going to finish when a goalie's standing on his head like that. He had the game of his life. And he made the saves that mattered. Oh, all of them were epic.
He certainly had the game of his life. He's only made 7 appearances for the Timbers in his career. New Zealand international Jake Gleason made 4 saves, earned himself MLS Team of the Week honors. He was utterly fantastic. There's no other way around it.
Unbeatable. Unbeatable.
I will say that. You will say that. You're, as we always talk about, you know, you're
the resident
goalie your whole life.
Crappy goalkeeper of the group.
Resident crappy goalkeeper. But you think he made tremendous saves throughout the match.
Oh, tons. Quick reaction save on Drew Moore on an open header in the 6, no less.
Yeah.
One-handed save on Bradley. Scorching shot by Bradley. Ridiculous save with his
curling away from him, too.
With his wrong hand, he made that save. And then the one that he made on Johnson on the far post, the header. A lot of people don't realize how hard that save was, basically on the way he moved his feet. The shuffling was very quick, and that's the reason he made that save. And those are the reasons why TFC didn't win the game. They weren't missing the target. They weren't putting it over the bar. They had a hot goalkeeper, and they couldn't beat him, other than Will Johnson, obviously.
I will say, I agree with you. For the most part, TFC got them on target. It was powerful headers each and every
time.
Strong
shots.
Strong shots. And that's, you know, to me, that's what you want most.
Exactly.
Rather than direction, because when you're in that close, most of these chances came from like inside the 6-yard box, if not just outside of it. You know, you just want to get as much power on it and make the goalie make a great save.
Just get it on target. There could be a rebound as well.
However, TFC coach Greg Vanney did not feel the same way.
A little bit of missed chances. I definitely think there were some things that we needed to be a little more patient. It was warm out there, very warm, and I think if we could have early on forced them to defend for longer stretches, it probably would have wore them down a little bit more as well. But all in all, I thought we deserved something out of this game. But you got to make plays. That's the sport. You got to make plays in your 18, and we couldn't do that today on the forward side, on the attacking side.
Like, he knew Jake Gleason made some nice saves, but at the same time, he was saying we got to be better in front of goal. Like, you know, we put it too close to him.
I don't know. Those are some
within reach. You got to put those away no matter what.
Now we're stretching, okay? Those are some quality saves.
You know what I like about it?
Putting
he's
the onus
not
on him.
Making excuses for anything.
Yep.
And he's saying, that's something we can be better on.
Taking responsibility.
Taking responsibility, saying, yeah, you know what? He was a great goalie, but we got to be better. We're putting ourselves in those chances. We got to start converting them. And you know what? I like the fact that Greg Vanney's being this way, saying he's not satisfied and he wants more. Yeah, we got 11 points. We could have had more on this road trip. I like that about Vanney this year.
Oh, he's definitely staying genuine to his word. He's not saying, oh, this and that. It's our fault. We didn't score the goals, and we're going to move on and learn from it, and that's what you want to hear. But, I mean, come on. Gleason was on fire.
He was unbelievable. And Diego Valeri, incredible free kick goal.
Oh, wow.
I thought Clint Irwin did everything right there, setting up his wall. I mean,
nothing's wrong. It was just a shot that no chance for any keeper. I don't care if you're Iker Casillas, you're not making that save.
Yeah, and the refs, Baldomero Toledo.
See, here
we got to make something of it. I don't think we do.
I
think there's some questionable calls, but nothing egregious.
Can I say something? One thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Cut the crap. Okay, this guy is a joke. Every time he touches, he steps on the field.
What
he's
did
a
he do?
Joke.
That was so egregious.
2 penalties missed.
Which ones?
The handball for TFC, which was a no call.
On Drew Moore?
Yeah, I believe it was on Drew Moore, which was a no call because he didn't call the other penalty on Altidore. Now, we talked about this, and you said that it was a good no call, and I disagree completely.
All right.
I kind of thought Altidore got his hands up in the face of Ridgewell.
He did.
You could almost call the foul both ways there.
You're going to call the penalty, though, because that's not a foul. If it was done in the middle of the pitch, that's not a foul. That's a hard play. You're putting your hand up. You're trying to spin around the defender.
I know Portland fans wanted a red card for Will Johnson for his 50-50 with Diego Valeri. I didn't see that.
I didn't. You know what? That doesn't even click. Does it click with you?
It doesn't click that he should have gotten a red card. But what did you think of Ridgewell stepping on Jovinko behind the play? It wasn't egregious. It wasn't malicious. He did it. Jovinko tried to make the most of it because he knows Toledo's a little quick to the red card.
Yeah, and also, I think Toledo knows that Jovinko goes down a little too much, and maybe that's why he didn't give it to him. But I do believe that that was at least a yellow card.
You think MLS Disciplinary Committee looks at him?
No.
Just because it's so behind the play, yeah, you can tell when you see it, he purposely steps on Jovinko.
And no one really...
Not really a stomp, but he steps on.
And no one really made anything of it after the fact, so I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
They should fire Toledo, though. That's what I say.
Garbage. Holy Toledo. I think we're talking more about Jake Gleason right now than we are about this game and the referee.
And rightfully so, because he was the stud in this game.
Man of the match, I would say Jake Gleason, obviously, for Portland, and maybe you can make a case for Diego Valeri, but on a TFC side of things...
He was my pick last week, and nothing changes because he is the heart and soul of the team. He's the engine. Michael Bradley everywhere on the pitch, doing everything.
Not Will Johnson going back to Portland, getting the goal.
I know. It would have been an easy man of the match if I just went with Will Johnson. I wanted to go a little bit more tactical. And if you look at Bradley's where he was everywhere.
Quickly on Josie's play, I've been getting a bunch of tweets saying Josie stinks. What'd you think of him in this game?
I think he did what he needed to do, and he was hard done by not getting a penalty. I think he played well. I don't think he did anything wrong. I think what TFC did wrong, though, was they were playing too narrow.
Yeah.
They were trying to come down the middle. They couldn't break through the middle. There was
that
a
was
lot
one of my keys to the game on the match preview. Attack down the flanks.
Attack down the flanks. And they should have listened to Uricio, because if you saw, the flanks were wide open, and Josie is more dangerous.
Formation doesn't allow for them.
True.
Because, you know, Delgado and Johnson, they're not really natural wingers.
True. But if one thing I'm going to say with Vanny is, because he always makes the changes when he needs to, he should have saw that nothing
was
going.
Well, he did. He tried to get Lovitz on there. He tried to get...
There was no crosses coming in,
He tried to get Babouli on there, get some more width. It didn't work out. But honestly, if you're tweeting me and saying that Josie Altidore sucks, give your head a shake. Learn soccer a little bit.
It's probably the same person that's saying Michael Bradley sucks.
I mean, come on. Like, he's been involved in pretty much all the goals they've scored, except for this week, since he came back to the starting 11.
One real miss that really sticks
he's
out with me.
He's not scoring, I understand. But he's got two assists and a penalty one.
I agree with you. And you know, in the beginning of the year, when this season started, I was against Josie, and I was telling you that he wasn't playing well. But he's really stepped up, so you're going to sit here and you're going to say that he's not playing well just to stay on your own opinion? He showed very well. But he's not getting the service in the air where that's where he's lethal.
Yeah, and he's got to start finishing some of the chances that he's getting. I'm not denying that, but he's playing well right now. I'm Dan Riccio. He's Thomas Michalakos. This is TFC Pitchside. We are very pleased to be joined now by the president of your Toronto FC. He is Bill Manning. Hey, Bill, how you liking life in Toronto?
I'm loving this city. It's been great. It's a lot like where I grew up in New York, and the restaurants are second to none here in Toronto. And I'm just actually really excited to be getting home this weekend. Finally, it's been a long, long road trip.
Yeah, it certainly has. I know we were talking to Stephen Betashore a couple of weeks ago, and he being a California boy was saying, when is this weather going to get a little bit warmer? But you being a New York guy, you're kind of used to this, I guess.
Yeah, no, I am. And I've, you know, out in Utah, it was, you know, we got all four seasons there as well. But the one thing I definitely have learned is you cannot figure out the weather here in Toronto. Holy cow. It is just from one day to the next, you just never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's crazy, and hopefully the weather will be good this Saturday. We'll talk about the home opener in just a second, but 8 games, 11 points, all on the road. Defense still looking pretty strong. Your thoughts on the road trip and how the team has looked so far this season?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, overall it was actually a really good bonding experience for our players, and you know, we had added some top players and personalities into the squad this year, and you know, just in a weird way, that just that road trip brought everyone together. And I think, you know, you've seen our identity grow as we're going to be a team that's really difficult to score on. We're going to be well organized, and Greg deserves a lot of credit for that. But there's some grit to this team too, and they're fighting for each other. So I really think this road trip in a lot of ways came out to be a positive for us, because it was us against the world, and our guys, you know, walk away at the end of the day with a 3-3-2 record after eight games. You know, I'd sign up for that before the season started, so I was certainly really pleased with it.
Your number one priority was cutting down the number of goals conceded.
Yeah.
And defense has been a priority. How do you think moving forward is the team going to progress with this? Because they look great so far.
Yeah, no, I don't think we're going to get away from that. I think you know, we want to be a team that can win games 1-0, and we want to be a team that can win games 4-1. I think as we come home, you'll see us get a little bit more comfortable in our attacking. We'll probably push the line up a little bit more. You know, and even like this last game in the second half, I thought we were really pushing the game in Portland against a very good team. And so I think you'll see, you know, we create, you know, their goalie stood on his head on a few of those chances we had. But I think you'll see that now more as we come home. We'll push the action a little bit more. But I don't think we're going to lose our discipline defensively. I think, you know, that's the team we've become. And we're going to be a team, as you've seen on a couple of the road games, can grind out a result when we need to.
You already mentioned Greg Vanney, and one of your notes in your postseason press conference last year, or one of your first press conferences last year with TFC, you had a choice to make right away, and people were wondering what was going to happen with Greg Vanney. You made the decision to stick with him. Your thoughts on what you've seen from Greg so far, and how the team is progressing under him?
Yeah, no, I think Greg has really grown into the role this year. And, you know, we talked quite a bit in the off season, and, you know, he said he learned a lot last year. And, you know, he's still a relatively new coach and a young coach. And I think he's done a great job this year. And the thing that I'm really pleased with is he's got buy-in from everyone in this team right now. And they're buying into his system. They're buying into this kind of defensive first mentality, and we have some strong personalities on this team, and Greg has got their respect and has got them all going in the same direction. And, you know, and as a president of a team, it's all I can ask for, and we're getting results. And so, you know, I'm really pleased that he's stepped up to the plate and has grown as a coach. And you know, I told him not long ago, I was like, you know, the sky's the limit for you as a head coach. And, you know, he's still very young in his tenure. And I think with the foundation of players we have here, we can be good not only this year, I think we can be good for a number of years. And you know, I'm really looking forward to see him continue to grow as a coach, because I think he's a good one.
Opinions have been split on Jozy Altidore, speaking to TFC fans and just hearing things from here and there. Has he met some of your expectations so far this season?
You know, I haven't put specific expectations on different players. You know, for me, it's all about the team and wins and losses. You know, and I think Jozy coming back into the starting lineup was actually really important in a few of our wins, you know, especially in Montreal. And so I just haven't really viewed it that way, whether he's met my expectations or not. You know, I look at it as a team, and I think Josie's been part of us really coming into good form. And you know, he had a great chance this weekend. The goalie made a good save. But I think when Jozy starts scoring, which we know he's gonna, you know, we're going to be an even more dangerous team. So, you know, no complaints right now.
Yeah, and he certainly had a big impact on all the games that he started so far this season. TFC President Bill Manning, our guest here on TFC Pitchside. So Saturday, the big home opener, it's what everybody, at least TFC fans here in Toronto, are certainly waiting for. What should we be expecting? Are there any special plans for Saturday's game against Dallas?
Well, we want to win.
So that would be a good start, yeah.
Yeah, no, I just think there's a lot of, you know, everyone's anticipating it, and I think no one really knows the impact that the roof is going to have in terms of the volume and how it keeps in the energy and the atmosphere. But I think my gut is I think that the fan base here in Toronto is going to be pretty raucous for that game, and I think our guys are going to come out and be excited to play at home, and I think it's going to be the start of what can be something great at BMO, which is, you know, it becomes a fortress for us. And, you know, we become a really difficult team to beat when we're playing at BMO. And I just think it's going to, the atmosphere of the roof and everything, I just think it's going to hold everything in terms of the energy in the building. And I think that's going to go a long way to helping us win games. So for me, you know, it's all about the wins and getting it done, especially at home. So in terms of anything new, I mean, you got two big roofs, three actually roofs over their head now, in the three different sections. But other than that, it's still a soccer game, and that's what I'm most excited about.
The pitch has been the question when I've talked to fans alone. They're talking about the Argos coming in, and Basically the pitch is going to be roughed up after 1 or 2 years. Are we going to stay with a field, an actual pitch, or in 3 years down the line when we figure out that the field can't live up to it, we're going to go back to turf because no one wants to see us go back to turf?
No, and neither do I, neither does Larry Tannenbaum, who owns the Argos along with Bell. I mean, we just had grow lights installed at the field at quite a bit of expense, and so when the sun isn't out, and even in the evening, we can still grow the grass. So we are making every effort to make sure this field is strong and can withstand both sports. Is it a concern? I mean, obviously this first season, we're going to learn a lot, and we're going to learn if the field can handle it. Our grounds crew has been working around the clock because it's a brand new field that was just installed, at BMO. And so, you know, that has to take even for us this year. But I don't see any way this team goes back to a turf. It will be grass. And, you know, one of the things we even looked at is in Wembley, where they actually put the surface over the grass when they have other events, and they put in the turf. And so we're, you know, even, you know, looking at possibly doing that, or just considering it as an option as opposed to turf. You know, the grass is something that I think is going to stay here for as long as, you know, I don't want to look at any other alternative, and we haven't, frankly, because we think it's going to work.
Well, ice is going to be going into BMO at some point with the Winter Classic.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll get
there. Cool.
It is very cool. And yeah. Toronto's been, finally, we there's a stadium here in Toronto that can hold a Winter Classic, which is good. Your time at Real Salt Lake, it was, you know, you show up there in 2008, you guys win an MLS Cup in 2009. So you've been down that road. What about this TFC team tells you that you guys can be competitive for MLS Cups? And what did you learn from your time in RSL that you see in this TFC squad, albeit in the early going so far here in 2016?
Yeah, there are some similarities. I think this team is a little more experienced than the team we had in 2008 when I was at RSL. This team is, what's interesting is the team that won the championship in 2009 was, if I had to look at my eight seasons there, was probably one of our weaker teams. Some of our best teams didn't win MLS Cup, but it was a group collectively over, you know, six or seven seasons that was amongst the best in MLS. And when you put yourself in those situations where you go into conference championships every other year, you're eventually going to win. I think this group can go a long way this year. And as I mentioned, I think this is a team that we can keep together much like we did at RSL for the next 3, 4, 5 years and really sustain some success. And for me, it's all about if you put yourself in a situation to win championships, eventually you're gonna. And, you know, sometimes it's not always the best team you have in a particular season, but, you know, putting yourself in those situations. And I think this team can do that. So the similarities I see are positionally, we're very strong at each position. And then we have some young depth coming up that I think can actually do well for us. And we have a veteran like Benoit who comes in now in his role and is going to be valuable for us. So I do see similarities in the two teams. But defense first is what RSL was, and we're seeing that now with TFC.
Now, on the business side of things, RSL, you were part of that group there that really built them into – one of the, you know, most impressive franchises in MLS, and they're thriving down there in Sandy, Utah, with Rio Tinto Stadium. Now, here in Toronto, it's a bit of a different ball game. TFC is the youngest of the crop of teams here. You obviously have the Leafs and the Blue Jays, and the Raptors are doing well right now. But, you know, in conversing with fans of this station and listeners a lot, you know, TFC is kind of seen not yet as a major sports franchise for the casual sports fan, I would say, in Toronto. What are the plans and how do you go about building and continue building with what is already a very strong base here with this club?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. This is a much larger market, and there's more competition in terms of you know, pro sports choices. In Utah, it was a smaller community. You had the Utah Jazz, and then you had BYU football and University of Utah football. But you know, with RSL, when I first got there, we were almost like a, you know, they compared us to the Salt Lake Bees, which was a minor league baseball team, and what we did was we won. And the more we won, the more people started enjoying the experience. And then we opened up the Rio Tinto Stadium, which was a great little stadium there. And collectively, we kind of built this powerhouse of a team that people really enjoyed. And when I first got there, our season tickets, we had 5,600 season tickets. You know, when I got here to TFC, you know, this year we just passed 18,000. So I'm in a different situation. The thing we haven't done here in TFC over the last 9 seasons is have a winning record. And so for me, I just feel that as we advance this team to being a team that can compete for championships, I think the market here is large enough, not just the casual sports fans, but soccer fans in general. There's a lot of soccer fans in this market where maybe TFC isn't their favorite team. They maybe, you know, are more European-based in terms of having a favorite team over there. But they're still soccer fans. And if we can play good soccer, I think those folks maybe went to 1 or 2 TFC games. Maybe all of a sudden we become their local team. And so I think that's how I'm viewing this. But you have to perform on the field. It's like anything. If you're going to sell pizza, you better have good pizza.
I'm not the biggest fan of friendlies during the middle of the season. I might be alone on this one with
me neither.
Okay,
me neither.
There we go. So we're seeing eye to eye.
We are.
But I understand why it has to be done. So in saying that, can you break a little bit? Anything happening for friendlies this year?
No, none. I'm like I said, I don't like them. I don't like them. So we're going to focus on winning games that mean things for us. And that's the regular season. It's the Canadian Championship. And the goal here is we want to get to CONCACAF. And eventually we'd like to win a CONCACAF championship. So we're going to focus on games that mean something at the end of the game. So you know, unless we get a crazy friendly opportunity, but a lot of times those games don't pay off and they're very expensive. So I'd rather focus on games that mean something.
Well, I have to bring it up just because I saw the reports out of Spain this week, but Real Madrid is rumored to be coming here to Toronto. So there hasn't been any talks with the Galacticos just yet.
No, they're not with TFC. You know, at BMO Field, we could host an international friendly. It's just not TFC playing in it. You know, when I was first at Real Salt Lake, we had a little bit of a relationship. It was a different management crew back then at Real Madrid, but you know, their appearance fees are insane, and so, you know, we'd need a much larger stadium if we would ever even consider something like that.
I can imagine.
Hey, well, yeah. I had to ask the question, and certainly there's a lot of TFC fans who have grown tired of the midseason friendlies that are happening
here.
Answers on that.
You won't see, I like to say you won't see any under my leadership here. And then, hey, look, if something special came and it was the right price, you'd consider it if you had a break, you know. But
right.
I would never put it friendly in between two games that mean something. I just it's not in my DNA. I don't believe in it.
Hey, Bill, congratulations on the strong start to the year, and we'll be seeing you down at BMO on Saturday.
Great. Thanks, guys. Look forward to meeting you in person.
For sure. There he is, president of Toronto FC, Bill Manning. That was an unbelievable finish to the interview, because I know just TFC Twitter, it gets lit when international friendlies are announced, because most of the hardcore TFC fans, they want to see TFC succeed, and they know that the international friendlies, for the most part, just throw a wrench into what is already a very busy schedule.
I mean, it doesn't make sense when you're in a league season.
I mean, we had Sunderland and Man City here last year.
Yeah,
Sunderland.
We've had Aston Villa. We've had Real Madrid at some point. I think it was 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Anytime it happens in the middle of a season, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I understand money talks, but what's more important?
But when I saw the Marca story this past weekend come out that Real Madrid would be coming to Montreal and Toronto, my immediate reaction was, is there going to be a game with TFC?
Twinkle in your eye a little bit there.
Yeah, they didn't say anything about
it. A little bit. It was too much fluff, though, I think, there. It's Marca.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. And maybe it's just to have training sessions and do some kind of, you know, global brand recognition type of thing. But we just heard from the president himself. He does not want midseason friendlies. And I know a lot of TFC fans are going to be very happy to hear that.
And when you think about it, though, is why would Marca talk about Montreal and Toronto if it's not legit, though? If it's not legit, why would they even be speaking of MLS?
I don't doubt that Real Madrid, they're coming to North America. So if they make stops in Montreal and Toronto, it could just be part of the International Champions Cup games that haven't been yet announced to come here to Toronto.
Let's not speculate.
It doesn't sound like it's going to be happening with your Toronto FC. I'm Dan Riccio. He's Thomas Michalakos. Thanks very much to Bill Manning. We'll be back talking to TFC legend Wade DiRosario next on TFC Pitchside.
Follow the guys on Twitter at DanRiccio590 and at UnfitRef. Radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
This is Junior Hoylett, Canadian International, and you're listening to TFC Pitchside.
So here we go with the free kick just outside the top of the box. Rocket touched it, DiRosario, and he's done it again! Dwayne DiRosario! Deep into injury time! Surely that's the winner, and surely it's 3 points for the Reds.
Why has Dwayne DiRosario won 4 titles in Major League Soccer? Because he has the ability to turn a game. He has the ability to lead the team. Well done. Well done.
There he is, one of 33 goals in all competitions for Dwayne DiRosario for Toronto FC. I'm Dan Riccio. He's Thomas Michalakos. This is TFC Pitchside, and we are very happy now to be joined by the man himself, Dwayne DiRosario.
We speak your name, Dwayne.
Thanks for having me on, gentlemen.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. And Dwayne, I mean, we'll get to TFC, but how big was that Raptors win last night?
Oh, man, it was huge. I think, that's what the playoffs is all about. It's all about excitement, all about nail-biting moments. We've had a lot of those, and, it definitely made it interesting throughout that that seventh game. But I'm glad we were able to come out with the win. I think the fans deserved it. I think those guys definitely, rallied around the right time and fought through some difficult moments and stages in the game, and came out with that win. Hope he could ride that momentum through the Miami round.
Yeah, and that's what Raptor fans will be hoping for sure, and we're all one of them here in the six. So, Dwayne, this TFC team looks pretty good so far. Just to get your thoughts on the first 8 games of the year, obviously all of them on the road, but so far it looks like they're putting together all the different pieces, offense, defense, goalkeeping. It all seems to be coming together early on.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the start of the year, if you were to say, TFC 11 points, 8 games on the road, I think anybody would take that, and it's really nice to see. I think one of the key factors is we kept most of the nucleus of the team together from last year. And I think that's very important for any team's growth and development. Obviously with the new pieces we added, is fitting in quite nicely, and I think there's a good team camaraderie amongst the guys, and they really seem like they're getting along and they're gelling on the field. So, I think the coaching staff has done a good job of putting together a great group of guys.
Do you miss being on the pitch? I would imagine you would, but looking at who you could play with TFC right now, with Giovinco and Altidor, could you see yourself in this lineup?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I always say to myself, it would be nice to play like with a player like Giovinco. You know, I think he reads the game very well. I think his runs off the ball is very good. And, you know, obviously he also looks for players when he has the ball, and he's a strategic player. And, you know, that would be exciting to play with, and especially a guy like Altidor, you know, a guy like his big, holds up the ball, and you just make the right runs off him, and he always find the ball in good goal-scoring areas. So, you know, but I pay my dues, and I'm grateful for my accomplishment, my career. But do I miss the game? Definitely. I think any player will miss the game, but I think I'm happy where I'm at right now, and, you know, I'm very content with my new my new role as ambassador and mother projects I have going on the side as well.
Yeah, we'll touch on those in just a minute. But this, you know, there's two synonymous celebrations now with this Toronto FC club. It's your celebration and this motorcycle thing that that Giovinco's got going on. I mean, put a grade on it for me. How would you grade Giovinco's new motorcycle celebration?
Well, it's not the shake and bake, so.
It's definitely not the shake and bake.
It's a close second. I'll give it a close second.
How did you come up with the shake and bake, if you don't mind my asking?
Yeah, I mean, the shake and bake is pretty much, I just came up with it just naturally. I didn't really do much planning behind it. It was like a pop lock, kind of slow down, just break it down type of, you know, thing that I just kind of developed over time. But you know, really stemmed from playing with Malvern back in the days, and it was a way for me to give tribute to a lot of the players that I grew up with that that didn't make it as far as I did. So I was, you know, carrying that torch for them, fellows, you know, inner city kids that, you know, didn't make it through various reasons. And, you know, every time I went out there, I never forgot where I came from and what I represent, and, you know, and I carried that off. And playing in the Robbie, in fact, it was a Scarborough Mirror program that said, you know, Malvern Magic did a shake and bake on a team. And I guess kind of used that and implemented in my goal celebration, again, just to give tribute to that.
Being from Scarborough myself, I love the shout-out, Dero, I have to say.
Yeah. You know, it wasn't easy back then, you know. There was no Toronto FC. There was no real professional environment for us. So we really had to do a lot to accomplish our career in soccer and in sports in general. So it's nice to see where the game has come to in this day and age, and what is being provided for the up and coming generation.
Your favorite home opener memories, obviously all of Toronto very excited about May 7th. And that's coming up this Saturday. You had, a great brace against Philadelphia. I think it was 2010 where you really made the home fans happy. Some of your favorite home opener memories.
Oh, definitely. And you know, to always score your home opener and to create special memories and to kick off the year on with a win is always every player's goal, and it won't be no different come May 7th, this Saturday at 7:30. I think, you know, I know all the guys are anticipating it, but you know, you got to always be mindful that you can't really play into the fans. You got to stick to the system and stick to what's working, and sometimes the emotion of the crowd and the environment could get to you a little bit. So it's very important that the guys keep their head and just to control their emotions and just continue what they're doing on the road that made them successful. Right? But obviously it's going to be they have to start the game off with their foot forward and put the team under pressure. And instead of playing away, maybe you have to be a little bit more reserved. I think you just got to take it to them and set the tone. You know, Dallas is obviously a team that, has some good forwards, you know, some good attacking players. So, you know, while you're pushing forward, you have to be mindful that they do have a lot of threats on the other side coming forward.
Dwayne DiRosario, our guest here on TFC Pitchside. So I understand you recently got back from Barbados. What's the Dero Foundation doing down there?
Well, we just thankfully we signed a partnership with Sandals through their Game Changer program. So we'll be doing various soccer clinics throughout the Caribbean in partnership with Sandals Foundation. So there's two components. Dwayne Wade's foundation, he does the basketball component. And my Dero Foundation, we do the soccer component. So we work with kids throughout the Caribbean and try to create environments where they too could, you know, fulfill their dreams and create an environment where we're not only developing soccer players, but also developing the future young men and women and responsible young adults.
Yeah, it's all very exciting. And you do a lot of great work with D-Row United. And but I got like that just that popped in my head. Like you and D Wade, like you guys got a little side bet going on right now with the Raps taking on Miami. What's going to go on here?
You know what? It's funny you mentioned that. We should start get one going.
We got to get something going.
I don't even know if that's legal.
That's what Twitter's for. So let's get it going.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
D-Row, always appreciate you, and you do so much great work with the D-Row Foundation, D-Row United, and registration is open for the summer program?
Yeah, well, we have our grassroots football program. Starts June 4th to September 17th, and you could get more information, of course, on DRowUnited.com. We also have our summer camps that start July 4th to July 8th, and then it goes through from July to August 19th. Again, more 8:30 to 1 p.m. You know, I'm proud to say that we've launched an academy as well. So, you know, under 11, under 10 boys academy, we just joined the CAF League. So we're very proud about that and excited to create a platform where those kids that are willing to take this game to the next level, that we could provide a environment for them to help them to succeed and create that another D-Row or better for the future.
Hey, D-Ro, it's all great stuff, man, and I really appreciate you joining us. So are you going to be down there on Saturday at BMO?
Oh, man, come on now. You do not need to ask that. I'll be there cheering on our TFC. I'll be there tomorrow cheering on our Raptors. I'll be there cheering on our Jays. And, you know, I just always represent my city. And, you know, I got nothing but love for our fans and our support that continue to show through ups and downs that they support no matter what. And, you know, with that kind of support, You just have to appreciate it, acknowledge it, and most of all, embrace it. So thank you, and thanks for what you guys do, and looking forward to a great and exciting day on May 7th.
Yeah, we can't wait either. Thanks so much for doing this, D-Row.
Always a pleasure.
There he is, one of the top three greatest players in TFC history, you think, Thomas?
Easily. Next to Laurent Robert and...
Javier Martina.
No, I was going to go Robert Earnshaw. Maybe a little Gilberto, Danny Kuverman.
Oh, Gilberto.
Come on.
Somebody told me on Twitter that Gilberto is better than Jozy Altidore, and that upset me. But anyways.
You know what I would do on Twitter? Delete that person.
Well, I'd probably block them or mute them.
Do something.
But Jovinko, Bradley, and D-Row, probably the top three TFC players of all time.
You could says a lot that two of them are still active.
Yeah, you can send us yours at DanRiccio590 and at UnfitRef. It's time now to look around MLS.
The MLS Minute.
All right. Friday night, New York Red Bulls get a 4-0 win over FC Dallas. Dallas's last two games, both on the road, they've lost by a combined 7-0.
Yeah, pretty bad. But good for New York Red Bull, though.
Is that good that, you know, they're losing so badly on the road and then coming to Toronto with this type of record?
I think it only bodes well for TFC.
Well, they might come out harder. You never know. As for the Red Bulls, yeah, maybe they are figuring everything out. On Saturday, Seattle, another goal from Jordan Morris. They beat Columbus. So the American Messi, as they call him, with his third goal of the season. Elsewhere, Philadelphia, San Jose, 1-1 draw over there. New York City FC, they get a 3-2 win over Van City. David Villa, unbelievable, keeping that team alive. And yes, Frank Lampard, still nowhere to be found. Montreal, Colorado finish 2-2, and this one, well, Didier Drogba, you knew he was going to score eventually.
Drogba with a free kick. Oh, there he goes again. Didier Drogba, he's done it twice against the Rapids and twice against McMath.
Altitude Sports Network on the call there. Montreal couldn't hang on late, though, and they draw 2-2 in that one. Chicago Fire, DC United, 1-1 draw there. New England Revolution, 2-2 draw. Like, do they ever not draw the Revs? Like, this is their MO. They've had like 17 draws already this year.
I can't believe Orlando City is fourth place.
Your favorite team, Real Salt Lake, with a 2-1 win over Houston.
Yeah. They're just magical, aren't they?
They are magical. According to you.
One of the strongest franchises in all of MLS.
But this one was the Nick Raimondo show.
Goes across into the box. Shot! Raimondo! Off the post!
I feel like I've seen this in one of those YouTube videos. He takes this straight off the face.
Those hurt.
In the face.
I like how he made a save with his face. Like, the announcer actually thought that he tried to do that.
It's like one of those 2014 World Cup calls, huh? Boom! In the face!
You don't remember
that one?
I missed that.
The Dutch calls.
I missed that call.
The Dutch calls. LA Galaxy and Sporting Kansas City with a 1-1 draw as well on Sunday night. And Gio Dos Santos, another goal. Guy's on fire right now. He's finally hitting stride in MLS.
Steven Gerrard's better.
Okay, yeah, whatever. as for the biggest story in the footy world, by the way, we were supposed to do power rankings, but with all the guest-heavy stuff with this show, we weren't able to get to power rankings. We will do them next week, but we promise in the future we'll do it on the first show of every new month. As for the biggest story in the footy world, Leicester City, because of Tottenham's 2-2 draw with Chelsea today, Leicester City are champions of England.
I can't believe you're saying that right now.
Nobody can. 5,000 to 1. All you need to do is put on a buck at the beginning of the year. You would have won $5,000.
Five G's in your pocket.
Freaking believable. And yes, they were the best team all season long. Nobody can deny them that. We'll let you out with the sultry tones of Peter Drury. Thanks to Bill Manning. Thanks to Dwayne Di Rosario. And thanks to you for listening. I'm Dan Riccio. He's Thomas Michalakos. Our boy Mandelich behind the glass. This is TFC Pitchside.
Brace yourself, Leicester. Brace yourself. It's happening. It is about to happen.
97 minutes. How long have they got to wait?
Willian. Champions in their absence by their predecessors on a night of perfect succession. Finally, Tottenham Hotspur are made to abandon their admirable chase as Chelsea, the deposed kings of England, pass on their title and their crown to successors unforeseeable even by the most crazed Fox's fantasies. But I bet it won't change.